I'm a little concerned about what's going on overseas, as we all are, and wondering how long this is going to go for. And we've lost six of our servicemen and women so far, and that makes me very sad. But I also understand there's a job to do. How have you processed this whole thing as a leader of the state of North Dakota?
Well, I mean, first and foremost, we check in with our National Guard, check in with our air bases in Grand Forks, air bases in Minot, and find out if and when we have any people who either permanently or temporarily call North Dakota home in residence are in theater, because we want to know what's going on. So we do that. We keep, I mean, for the most part, we keep that quiet. Just, I mean, that's how we handle it here. And so we have that information, because that's where we start and then branch off. And then the other answer is, I mean, whenever something like this occurs, you can debate it afterwards or debate it beforehand. You deal with it afterwards. I mean, there's always armchair quarterbacking on all of these things, but you just say a short prayer for every man and woman in uniform that's in harm's way right now.
Mm-hmm. What do we know about North Dakota involvement here? Who is involved? We know we've got, you know, significant assets at our air bases that are involved when things happen like this at times. What do we know about what's happening in North Dakota, and are we involved directly in that theater over there?
I mean, there, obviously, when you have two air bases in North Dakota, you have involvement in this, and that's part of it. But the other answer is, this sounds stupid, but I mean it. We just, for security reasons, and because it's Iran and all of that, we monitor it, we take care of it. But unless they do any announcements on their end, we allow them to handle all of that.
Yeah, makes sense. We just do.
We're not going to politicize this event in any way. We just want to make sure we know we want them to know we have their back if they need anything.
Yeah, 100%. And I think that everybody who is listening to our program right now would echo that. In Minnesota, they have confirmed that they have 200 of their National Guard that are being deployed over there. Is there any similar activity happening here? Whatever you can say about that, if we do have some of our people that are heading over there as well.
Not as of now, no.
Okay, good. Well, that's good to know. If they're needed, I'm sure they'll be ready and serve us all very proudly. I wanted to also ask you just a couple other storylines that are happening here, kind of in relation to that. I'm thinking about oil prices, and we're up about, 8% again today. Now we're in the upper 70s on a WTI price. That's good in some ways for the state. I know that the budgeteers have been trying to figure out how to, you know, handle state needs when oil prices have been a little bit lower than historical, and now prices are back up. At the same time, that means for you and Kirsty and me and my family, whenever we put gas in the car, it's going to cost us a little bit more too. How do you balance that, Kelly, as the governor of the state? There's always some good, some bad, right?
Well, I think the first part is, as the governor of the state, when you have men and women in U.S. uniforms in trouble, I mean, we like higher oil prices, not at that cost. Mm-hmm. Just not at that cost. I mean, this is about national security. This is about Iran, who for the last, 45 years, almost my entire life, is the largest state sponsor of terror, has continued to back away and slow walk and lie about their nuclear program. I mean, from the purely economic side, I think you look at it in a very simple way. We want robust oil cut prices from a free market, not from conflict, not from a place on the map that, quite frankly, does a lot to manipulate oil prices. And I just think we've talked to a lot of producers in North Dakota, and everybody's plan is to keep production flat over the next calendar year. And I don't think a conflict in the Middle East is going to change any of those decisions right now. So we plan for the long term, not the short term.
How do you, Kelly, as the governor of the state, how do you get notified when our reserve or our guard is needed to go over there? How does that sort of notification happen within the state and starting, I'm assuming, with you?
Yeah, they start with our adjutant general, and then he will notify us, and we will have a conversation. And I mean, you know, we talk a lot about the guard in North Dakota, right? Like, we talk about them. They're there for floods. They're for tornadoes. They're there for fires. They are obviously super capable about helping us deal with all of the things that they have over the course of North Dakota's history. But first and foremost, they are a supplement for our national defense. And when things like this happen, this is when you really recognize what their primary role is for the state of North Dakota and for the country at large. So they follow very strict military chains of command, of which I am a part of now as the state commander of the National Guard. But when the federal government calls them up for these types of things, they call them up, and then we do what we can to support them and support their families and do everything we can as that goes on. But it's pretty structured.
Yeah. Do we have any of our Guard members down at Southern Border anymore? I know for a while, I think we had a few of our people down there. Is any of that going on anymore?
I do not believe right now. We just had a Guard troop get back last week from Lieutenant Guy was actually in D.C. and the Lieutenant Governor was there and welcomed him back. But we always have guys on, different rotations and in different spaces for that.
Sure. Yep. Makes sense. Thanks for the info on that. Just I was curious about a few of those things and how that affects our troops here. I want to switch gears a little bit. Minnesota, state of Minnesota, has had some higher profile announcement recently with data centers that are coming to Rochester, one to the Becker, Monticello area. Now there's one in Duluth as well. I know Applied Digital has been kind of doing its thing, and we're obviously getting ready for something to happen here in the Fargo area as well. Can you give us any other updates? Anything that's imminent for data centers or the pipeline project that is going to be the west to east to carry the natural gas? Any updates you can give us on that?
So I think a couple things, right? Yeah, I mean, Applied Digital's got Harwood, they've got Ellendale. I'd watch the Beulah, Mercer County area. I think they have one, Coal Creek's a non-utility, and they've been in a lot of conversations with a lot of different people about what fits on their overall campus. They're also a little closer to power. I mean, the nice thing about Applied Digital, both in the Harwood area and in Ellendale, is they have found stranded power. So they don't need, they have figured out a way to do this where there's more power than is being used at that of those particular locations, which is really actually great because it's not going to raise consumer rates, which is one of the things you hear a lot. But I think, if you see any imminent announcements, I think in the near future, it'll be in that Beulah Hazen area.
Okay. All right. We'll stay tuned for that. Wondering if you can give me your perspective, Governor, on the upcoming state convention in light of the District 28 meeting, which I'm sure you've heard about down kind of the Lemoore area there, south central North Dakota, where you had a meeting that was interrupted and kind of a clash of people, and they're frustrated about the JetX line, and it's kind of led to a discussion about how are we going to have our delegates there, and it seems like it could be setting the stage for a very interesting state convention coming up here later this month. What are you watching there? How are you getting involved, if you are at all, or what do you think needs to be considered as we start to move toward that state convention?
Well, first, I will be the best man in a wedding that weekend, so I won't be there, okay. Which is a little frustrating. I feel like they should have maybe reached out. But I think you can't get your buddy to move
the wedding, can you?
I am not going to. I actually introduced them. I introduced the bride and the groom and very excited about it. Two very, very, very dear friends of mine. And so that is, part of it. But I think just structurally and fundamentally what you've seen happen, and not just in North Dakota, but across the whole country is, I have a different perspective on this because I used to have the job. Like I was the state party chairman for 3 years. And I think the parties are far too engaged in policy and not nearly enough engaged in creating the tools to help elect people to office. Say, candidates put their names on the ballot, candidates get elected, parties help people get elected. And when the parties start veering very much into, you have to do this, this is what you have to vote for, these are the policies you have to support, you are going to end up in a scenario where you have a lot of this conflict. Because no matter who the state party chairman is, even if they're elected unanimously, they're elected with 54 votes. I mean, that's essentially the way it works across the state of North Dakota. And I think I think we've seen this in North Dakota. I've watched it happen. We make these meetings so unpleasant that normal people don't want to go anymore. And so you have a smaller and smaller group of people that think they are making all of the decisions for the Republican Party in North Dakota. And I don't think that's a good thing.
Governor, just have about 30 seconds. Oh, yeah, I get it. Yeah, well, there's got to be sort of how are we going to do this kind of a thing here going forward, no doubt. I do have one
question. Keep in mind, I'm a little biased. They did censor me twice, so.
Okay, yeah, I get it. Have you been watching what's been going on in Florida with the property tax discussion? I only have about 30 seconds left, but your thoughts on what you're seeing there, and can that any of that be a model for North Dakota?
I actually think North Dakota is a model for everywhere else. We've created the most durable. Now, we're lucky we have a legacy fund, but we look at a lot of what's being said, and I don't know what their final piece of legislation is, but we're very blessed, and we have a durable funding stream independent of $77 oil or $61 oil. And I think we have, if we leave this alone and keep it intact, we can get primary residences to zero within the next decade, or at least most of them. So I'm really excited about our program.